Hello, and thanks for being with us here on The New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum Ben Moshe. Hello. Today, we'd like to better understand what exactly is the correction of human nature, and how do we do it in order to make our life even better? Tal, please. Yeah. On previous shows, we talked about the state humanity's in, that even though that we're at the peak of human progress, there are still wars in the world, still. Yeah, there is separation. There's a big mess. I'd even say that we feel kind of helpless coping with these problems. And we talked about an ancient and very relevant method that can deliver a person from his evil, from the wars, from the separation, to good, harmony, and peace. And we're really curious about this method. We understand that it can create good relations between people and even change our perception of reality. So today we'd like to understand, how does the method work? Is there a certain process that a person goes through once he starts using this method? We see that in life, everything works very gradually, whether it's the development of a baby or the evolution of our universe. And this is actually what we'd like to ask about today. Is the method of correction also based on a process with stages and so on? First of all, everything that we're going through, even if we're not talking about the wisdom of Kabbalah, and the corrections and corruptions is a part of the process of correction that we're going through against our own will. And this process changes us, and we're changing all the time. Only we're going through this process unconsciously. We're not participating in it ourselves. Meaning, we understand that we're going through a process. We see it from history and everything that's happening, but that this entire process is predetermined, precalculated, that it has a beginning and an end. We don't really accept that. We can say, yeah, there are different laws in nature. Maybe these laws also apply to us, like the law of development, the law of evolution that has to do with the evolution of the human species and man as a part of it. But still, we don't really delve into it. But if we delve into the law of development, of how nature develops, we can learn a lot from it, that one way or another, we're probably a part of the same process, and that it's a compelling process, and that if we somehow want to understand what's happening to us or what's going on with us, we have to study this process. How do we reach the forces that activate it? How can we discern the different stages that we're going through? How can we not only understand, but also maybe intervene in the process in a good way? But first we have to understand, can we interfere in this process or not? Or are we in the hands of blind nature doing whatever it feels like with us? Like the dinosaurs disappeared, maybe we'll disappear too. Like what happened to the dinosaurs so many millions of years ago, that a meteor, asteroid, hit Earth, and they perished. Maybe the same will happen with our civilization. It's enough that a few tons of rock or iron fall on Earth, shake it, and our life's over. So this is something that we have to learn. Humanity, for some reason, isn't that interested in it. Like little kids, it plays with its little toys, like what they do when they crawl around, and pays no attention to the big things. There are those that talk about it, about the dangers of these big problems. But it's not that it's something that we learn and study in a way that we invest in it and that we have to learn how to solve the problem of our development, because we see that our development isn't good. We're really suffering. Every state is worse than the previous one. So what's going on? Generation after generation, our kids are slipping between our fingers. They're not having a better life than we had than a generation ago. Meaning, humanity is not that interested in investing in the different stages of its development. And here we have to understand that these stages of development, if this is how we have to go through them, because we have no other choice, that we're like the animate level, even though that we can understand a bit more, but it's better for us not to understand, and whatever happens, happens, or that we were given an intellect and emotions in order for us to understand the process and we'll be able to change it. That maybe here there is place for us to participate in the correction. That by our participation, we can invert this entire process, shift it from a bad way to a good way. And therefore, here we have to somehow awaken the people towards it. The scientists, the wise people. The wisdom of Kabbalah speaks about it in a very clear way. It says that, of course, we're going through a process. That's clear. This process was predetermined by nature. That's also clear. But from a certain point and on, we can interfere in this process and change it. And it explains how to do it, so that finally we'll reach better, more advanced stages, so that we and the future generations will be better off. So there's a method, the method of correction, that's been implemented for thousands of years, and we're also now supposed to use it. So what is this method? What stages does it take a person through? The method is pretty simple. It says that the same force that develops us and takes us step by step through our development is, let's call it, the force of evil. Because the force of evil is what develops in us, the egoistic force. The egoistic force is that I think only about myself, taking only myself into consideration and no one else, unless I have no choice. And therefore, our development is always from bad to worse, from war to war, different struggles and so on, in smaller things and in bigger things. And this is something that we both see. We see it in different forms, both in the way that we develop our countries, our society, our families, our children, their education, and so on and so forth, the technologies that we develop. It's all about how to control each other, and this is what we invest our entire life in. You can see how the big countries invest billions of dollars, efforts, lives, blood, and how will they overcome each other? It's worse than children fighting in the backyard about who's stronger. And this is how we live our life. And as the wisdom of Kabbalah explains, we're controlled by the force of nature. But along with it, when we experience, start experiencing suffering, and we reach the recognition of evil, since we're developing in a very bad and threatening way all the time that threatens our very existence. Look what we came to. We can blow up our planet, our small home. So when we look at that, then in such a generation that has the brains and both the ability to destroy ourselves, also the ability to correct our egoistic desire becomes revealed. A method called the wisdom of Kabbalah is revealed, and it explains that you're controlled by the so-called evil inclination, evil desire, evil force, that everything that you see in nature, in the universe, it's all only the evil force. And the good force is not present in your lives, neither in the still, nor in the vegetative, nor the animate, nor the speaking. Why? It's not a matter of plus and minus, because the positive and negative particles, as if, do exist. But every creature, regardless what degree it's on, whether it's the still, vegetative, animate, or the speaking levels, it wants for its own benefit and, if possible, at the expense of others. And this is a general law that applies to reality as a whole. And therefore, reality as a whole is called the evil inclination or the evil desire. And we can't live this way forever. But eventually we see that the world's coming to an end. And our life will be such that we will want for that end to come. Things are going to be that bad. And therefore, the wisdom of Kabbalah is becoming revealed. It's called the method of correction, and it says that in order to correct this, and that it's possible to correct this, we can do it if we use the positive force against the revealed negative force that's controlling our world, that's controlling us. And this force is called the positive force. We can call it by different other names, but in order to not get confused, we have the evil force that's revealed and that's in control, and the positive force that we can draw and make it appear in our world. But in order to draw the positive force, for this we have to get organized. Because just like the evil force controls everything according to our relations, that were I to live on my own, alone, then the power of good or the power of evil wouldn't have been that felt in me. But since I live with others, the more developed our relationships are, the more the evil force controlling us is revealed. And the same with respect to the good force. If we want for it to influence us, we have to build society in a way that the good force will become revealed in it evermore according to our efforts, and then that good force will deal with the evil force and will be able to reach a state where either they'll balance each other, or even for the good force to defeat the evil force and for our world to become utterly good. What does it mean to draw the good force? This already means the realization of the method. We can draw the good force only by building a society. We learn how to draw the good force. We demand for it to come and appear between us. According to the actions that we perform in order to invite it, that we're as if starting to do good things, to perform good actions, and we demand of it to appear and make it happen because we can't do it ourselves, but I have to initiate the good action. And therefore, we have to build this good society that will want to connect by the power of good. And when we really want it, in order to save ourselves from the evil force, and we see that we can't, then we cry out to the good force for it to come and take control of the evil force that's controlling us. We can't deal with the evil force. We can't control it because it's the only thing that we have. But we can draw the good force according to how much we want it. And then it comes and starts correcting us. But this depends on the extent of the recognition of evil, of our evil force, of our nature. And this depends on the extent to which we can rise above our ego and start forcefully connecting between us, even though that our ego rejects us from one another. And then, when we really try to do it, then we start feeling that that good force comes and works and forms new relations between us. As a psychology student, I can say that even in a group, there is a naturally occurring process. When a group sits together, it'll always go through certain developmental processes. At first, they're connected, it's fun to be together. Then they discover their differences, the conflicts, the separation, and then the group learns how to work with these states, and then it becomes a connected group that knows how to work together. And eventually they disperse, and a new group comes. So what we see is that when people get together, the group goes through a certain process, a process without drawing the positive force, but it's a process that happens between them naturally, that the evil force is constantly working among them, but they feel that still it is worthwhile for them to connect. It's worthwhile for them to suppress that evil force to a certain extent and to have some kind of connection between them. It's like with spouses or the different games that humanity plays or a country. But still, on each and every stage, we're controlled only by the evil force, only that it's worthwhile for us to build our connections atop that evil force. These connections, they're egoistic. Maybe we're not aware of it, but they are. And we do use them. And for a certain period of time, we're connected. So what is that good force? We probably don't know what it is. We don't. Because when does our egoistic force work? If I see that it's beneficial for me to connect with you, then we connect and build something mutual. Once I discover that this connection no longer satisfies me, then I break it, obviously. Meaning, our connection and the certain concessions that we make in such connections, it's all because of our ego and only. And therefore, it's not considered to be the force of good. It's that same evil force, only that's working in a hidden way. So what would be the difference? What is that thing, the force of good? This is something that we don't know. Because the evil force, we see that at times of trouble, wars, disaster, we're willing to make concessions and help each other. But again, it's all in order to be saved, to benefit. This is our calculation, where each of us thinks only from within himself, from his own heart. And in my heart, first of all, I want to be successful. And deep inside my heart, I want to succeed at the expense of others. If we compare it to physics, then it's the force of conservation of energy that if I succeed at the expense of others, then I don't have to waste my own energy. For everyone to serve me, be my slaves, on the one hand, and on the other hand, It's the general ego that simply this is what it wants, that I enjoy doing good to myself and harming others. It's just that when you say to plead with upper force, it doesn't sound scientific or rational. How can I know if it works? I can plead and nothing will happen. To plead, I mean to demand for it to appear according to our desire. If we're talking about human nature, then it's all a desire, and only. And if I awaken my desire in a specific way, not egoistically wise, that I want to acquire and succeed and benefit at the expense of others, but I try to reach the good force, that I want to change myself, suppose for some reason. Suppose I'm a developed individual, I have this inner inclination to really do good, and I investigate the world, and I feel that, yeah, maybe it is possible to do something good, but the good that I do to myself, it's completely egoistic. It doesn't do good. But is there a different force of good in the world? The opposite to the one that controls me. It's as if I'm turning to a certain reality that exists outside of this world. And this reality is a good reality that can work in bestowal instead of in reception. Where does this bestowal come from? Doesn't matter. I don't want to harm others, and I even want to cause good to others by taking only them into consideration. And if we can attain this kind of force, then we can build between us relations that are opposite to the ones that we have now. And this is what we have to try and do. The wisdom of Kabbalah explains how to do it. So the entire method is based on drawing the positive force that exists in nature, but that is hidden. This is also how it's called, the hidden force, the force of bestowal, the positive force, the good and benevolent force, the force of love. And when I draw this force, it gives me the ability to treat others favorably. What does that mean? That I start feeling the others, not because I want to succeed by them, even by giving them, to feel good as a result. Yes, that I feel good as a result. But I do not take myself into consideration, but I take only the others into consideration. And the other, the fellow man, he's not a relative of mine or anything. It's not like a mother and her baby, that she's willing to give everything to her baby. And therefore, we have to reach a state where we draw this upper positive force to us, and we want for it to control us, for it to really control us. Just like now, the evil force controls us, for the good force to control us the very same way. And it's possible, the wisdom of Kabbalah says that for this, we have to build a small society and to try and build such relations between us, where we help each other, where all of us want to draw the good force in order to really treat each other favorably. And if we want to do that, then we are capable of doing it. And that force appears. It's revealed. And then accordingly, we start feeling that we really live in a new world with new relations, with new values. And this means to rise from the lower to the upper world. In other words, what is the switch that activates this force? Like an electrical switch. I turn it on, there's electricity. What turns on activates the good force? Deficiency, meaning what? The desire to live a good life. I know plenty of such people. Right, everyone wants it. So why don't they turn on the switch? They don't understand. They don't acknowledge that it's possible to reach that. But here there's also a psychological barrier where I have to change myself. I can't live a good life without changing myself. I have to understand that in order to live a good life, there's a big problem here. I have to become a different person. I have to be good to others, and I have to live in a society where everyone cares for everyone else and not for themselves, like we do. And this change of caring for others instead of caring for yourself is an essential one. It's a change that I can't perform myself, because by this I change my nature. I need for some force to come from the outside and change me, change my essential being, for it to calibrate me internally. It's a real internal calibration. We talked about it on our previous show, I think, that I as if insert a screwdriver into myself and I start changing the systems and the parameters inside myself. And then only this way can I draw the positive force for it to treat me. And then, like a baby, I'm willing to lay back and to allow it to do whatever it wants, without any criticism. Because what? I'll criticize with my ego. Our time's up. We'll talk about this on our next show. What is the most important thing to take from this show? That there's an upper force, a positive, hidden force, that by a method called the wisdom of Kabbalah, we can draw it upon ourselves. And it can change our nature from reception to bestowal, from hatred to love, so that we'll live in a good world. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, Tal. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.